You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Mr. Dorsey, who the hell elected you and put you in charge of what the media are allowed to report and what the American people are allowed to hear?
October the 29th, 2020, that is Senator Ted Cruz on the attack yesterday against Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. Who the hell made you guys the censor for the American people? We're going to break that story down in great detail for you. By the way, of course, part of the story deals with how Twitter, Facebook, and other social media giants were trying to shut down any information regarding the New York Post story and the Hunter Biden emails on the computer. Joe Biden and his camp have not still officially denied anything, have not said the computer doesn't exist, it's fake or anything else. But Twitter made its own decision. Oh, it must be fake. But how many times did they put stuff up about Trump that they didn't bother, they didn't care because it was anti-Trump? We're going to get into that in great detail. And Joe Biden is actually asked by reporters at a conference where he appears to make statements and he opens the floor for questioning. And not one of those reporters, not one, had the cojones, much less the intelligence or the ethics, to ask him about the Hunter Biden tapes and computer. Not one. That's almost as bad as they did the other day when he came out of an ice cream shop and pressing question is, what flavor ice cream did you get? Give me a break. Oh, the author of the book called Anonymous, supposedly inside the Trump White House and the things were all wrong and going helter-skelter, he's been exposed. Well, he's exposed himself, actually, and then has to explain why he was hiding. We were led to believe he was some high-ranking White House official. Fraud, lie, fake, but the mainstream media never questioned that at that time. And you actually hear Chris Cuomo ask him, why should we keep you on the payroll since you lied to us? And my question for Chris Cuomo is the same thing for you, Chris. Why should they keep you on the payroll since you lied about staying in your home through your COVID quarantine when you got out? Campaign rallies? Trump has thousands and thousands showing up. Kamala Harris had her rally yesterday in Tucson. Reported numbers in dozens, maybe 100. Does that really indicate anything? Well, they got dueling campaigns today in Florida between Biden and Trump. We'll bring you up to speed on that. U.S. economy growing at the fastest pace ever recorded in a third quarter. Ever recorded in a third quarter, 33.1%. And it grew in the third quarter because that's when the COVID restrictions began to ease. Yet, we're still 3.5% less than when the year began because we were doing so well before COVID came to our shores. Dr. Kevin Pham is going to join us. He said it's time to resume life with some precautions and the truth we should know and accept about COVID and basically just get on with it. You do know the Biden's Harris tickets would lock you down for a long time to come. They don't see any end to this, and they want you to continue to suffer, and they want to make sure you're scared and frightened. You know better. I think most of the American public is beginning to see it. We'll see if it's reflected in the poll, because they're trying to use that as one of their hammers against Trump. And the Girl Scout organization, issuing a statement to praise Amy Coney Barrett for getting to the U.S. Supreme Court, offering praise to a woman from the Girl Scouts, saying she set such a great example for young girls. But then came the political correctness hit squad. And it was so rough and so tough and so damaging, their Girl Scouts withdrew their praise. We'll break that story down for you. It's a perfect example again where the squeaky, shrill, snowflake voices get their way. And then the story of the Hollywood actress who says her child will decide if the child is a boy or girl. Gonna let the child decide the gender. Where are we going with this nation? If we don't hold close, we're going to you know where. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500. But my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down, we go, go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Of a crisis, which is the long overdue reckoning on racial injustice in America. On that note, Joe Biden knows American history. He knows our history as a country, and he has the courage to speak truth about it. Joe Biden has the ability to say Black Lives Matter. Donald Trump will never speak those words.
And there you have it. Kamala Harris, Democrat, California Senator, of course, and now running with Joe Biden on the Democrat ticket. And all the honking you were hearing, her rally, another one of those drive-in rallies, as she was in Tucson, Arizona. And she said, the U.S. is haunted by systemic racism, and we're in the midst of this crisis, and the horns were honking. You know how many they had at that event? Some reports at the most say 100. And it's a drive-in rally. Everybody's sitting in their car. There's no big shouting and yelling, and as you might expect. And they're doing it all on the basis and saying it's COVID. We need to do it this way. And so folks show up. But they still had this major drive-in rally for, and they had maybe 100 people. Let's say you put only one in each car, 100 cars. And you know there were more than that. Question for you. You compare that to the Donald Trump campaigns. Do the rally numbers mean anything? Are they reflective of what's really going on in the nation while we continue to see these various polls that show Biden is leading or far ahead in some places, or it's a toss-up and it should be so close. And yet you contrast numbers at the Kamala Harris event yesterday compared to Trump also in Arizona yesterday with thousands. The Arizona Republic newspaper said there were thousands. And Reuters reporter tweeting a video showing the crowd waiting for Trump to exit Air Force One. And again, you see hundreds in the picture, if not a couple thousand or more. That was at Bullhead City, Arizona. While Harris held her drive-in rally at Pima Community College in a parking lot. ABC 15 in that area live streamed and it showed about 50 cars at the lot. About 50. Does that really translate? The Arizona Republic's Dave Wallace talked about people lining up for the event before Trump even arrived in Bullhead City. And the Arizona Republic stated, I'm quoting, well over a thousand people in line to get in. And they reported there was nothing but a sea of red. The enthusiasm is there. The excitement is there. But is it going to translate? Now, Dr. Gerard Lamero, we've had on this program numerous times before, does model forecasting. He's predicting a landslide for Trump. He did it last time as well. He missed the Electoral College vote by maybe 4 or 5. And he's predicting 340 for Trump this time around. 340, you only need 270. And there are two other model forecasters he trusts, one at 320, another at 360, even above his number. And the Trafalgar polling group, which called it properly last time around for Trump, is saying it's going to be Trump. Keep in mind, those are just polls and projections. Dr. Lamero's got a great track record, as does Trafalgar. But you still have to be voting. You have to make sure folks get out and do the act, carry out the vote. So today, we've got Trump and Biden holding dueling campaign rallies in Florida. They're going to be in Tampa, just hours apart. Trump's set to hold his rally in Tampa, 12:30 Central Time. About an hour and a half from now. Biden is to arrive 5:30 Central Time. Prior to going to Tampa, he's going to be in South Florida's Broward County. That's a blue stronghold in that state. Got 310,000 mostly Democrat black voters, so he's preaching to the choir, basically. But that's fine. Let him spend his time there. But again, when you look at the polls, and you got to keep this in mind, a U.S. Today Suffolk poll released yesterday shows Biden with a comfortable 8-point lead nationally. But the race much tighter in the key swing states. Real Clear Politics, doing its aggregate, shows that Trump is pulled into a virtual tie with Biden in Florida. Just 1 week after the former vice president had a narrow lead. In Florida, 4 years ago, Trump defeated Hillary Clinton by 1.2 percentage points. 1.2. Florida has 29 delegates up for grabs, one of the biggest prizes on Election Day. If he cannot win Florida, the path to re-election is going to be very difficult. Now, according to the U.S. Elections Project, University of Florida, they're estimating already 7 million Floridians have cast early in-person mail-in ballots. I know my daughter that lives in Florida is among those. And that means a total right now of 76 million Americans have already voted. 76 million. That is more than half of the overall turnout we saw in 2016. Does it translate for a victory for Trump? And you got Kamala Harris in Tucson, blah, 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 and the horns honking, and they're thinking they've got everything locked down. I wonder if they had to tell her where she was again. Remember the other day when she was in Michigan, or I don't remember, it's a state she couldn't remember, the city. I can't remember now, but She was there, but she didn't know where she was. Had to turn to an aide, and it was called a mic. Where are we? I think Cleveland. Yeah, he said Cleveland. She said, all right, Cleveland, it's Kamala. Now, I think she even mispronounced her own name at that point. Well, those are odds and ends of this whole story. It's still going to boil down to what's going to happen on November 3rd and leading up to it, and, of course, those votes that will be coming in afterwards that they're going to approve and let stand, and that's a problem. We do know that millions of mail ballots have yet to be returned in the key battleground states. Election officials have been warning, time's running out. If you don't want to go vote in person, if you're going to mail that ballot in, time's running out. Florida has apparently almost 2 million ballots still outstanding. Nevada, 900,000, 850,000 in Michigan, 1 million in Pennsylvania. And when it comes to these mail-in ballots, President Trump is again repeating his warnings about the possibility of election fraud because of the increased number of mail-in ballots. We already had a report yesterday that a U.S. postal worker was charged with dumping ballots, just dumping them into a dump yard area. They were recovered. We don't know who actually was being supported in the balloting, but they're all clearly marked. They're election ballots. All of them that are being mailed in, they are clearly election ballots. They're supposed to get priority mailing. And many in the news media say there's no evidence of widespread voter fraud. Well, of course, there's also no evidence that Hunter Biden had a computer and we're seeing information off of. No, there's no evidence whatsoever. The National Bureau of Economic Research states the Electoral College today is about 40 times as likely as a national popular vote to generate scenarios in which a small number of ballots in a pivotal voting unit will determine the presidency. And this report put together looking at some of the states where you might have voter problems. And this is from Eric Eggers, the research director of the Government Accountability Institute, author of a book, Fraud, How the Left Plans to Steal the Next Election. I give you all that background so you understand the source, his alliance. I never try to hide that. But he says there are five states where election fraud may impact the election. Pennsylvania. He points out that 4 years ago, the Secretary of State in Pennsylvania had resigned over allegations he had failed to prevent illegal immigrants from voting in the presidential election. When, in fact, documents later revealed he was fired because he prevented a glitch in the voter registration that allowed thousands of ineligible immigrants statewide to vote. And that same year, an election judge in Philadelphia arrested for literally stuffing ballot boxes. Top pollsters are saying Pennsylvania is a state where Trump may be the most likely to lose due to voter fraud. Wisconsin, one of the first states facing the increased volume of COVID-era mail-in voting. The number of rejected ballots in the April primary, 23,000, greater than the margin of victory in the presidential election, that was 22,000. And the question is, can they handle all the mail-in in Wisconsin and also avoid fraud? Minnesota, another state he points out, said one of the most recent cases, a campaign worker ballot harvesting illegally, going around, picking up folks' ballots, say, you don't need to mail it, I'll take it, I'll deliver it for you. And, of course, if they suspect it's a Trump vote, it may never get there. Michigan. Trump won Michigan by fewer than 11,000 votes. And they found an abundance of human mistakes as they were going through that election count. Detroit being a prime center for the election fraud. And they're saying that could certainly be another case where you're going to find voter fraud. Florida, another opportunity if folks are trying to cheat. Now, against all of this, too, while we're talking about the White House, I cannot emphasize enough for you. Yes, we want Trump to remain, or I do, and many of you do. Maybe I know some of you listening don't. I know you're not a Trump supporter, and you're already a Biden supporter. I understand that. It's a free country. You can make that decision. That's your choice. But I've insisted that you also keep a look at the Senate. And this is a scary statement today from Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. McConnell, Republican of Kentucky, in a campaign stop in Kentucky that was actually, this came from yesterday. Republicans have a slim 53-47 majority in the Senate right now. And he says it's a 50-50 proposition. We have a lot of exposure. This is a huge Republican class. There are dogfights all over the country. Democrats going after GOP senators in Maine, Colorado, Georgia, Iowa, Montana, North Carolina, and, of course, South Carolina, Lindsey Graham's seat. Someone was talking to me the other day and said, I want us to get the White House, but if we had one, either that or the Senate, I say take the Senate. I said, I'll have to agree with you because the Senate actually can control some actions. And even if Biden-Harris win the White House, holding the Senate means they cannot run rampant. Do not take any of this for granted. Make sure everyone you know votes. Hopefully the ones that vote the way we think we want it to go. I want to take a closer look at the economy and word out of Chicago of taxing people to death. Almost literally. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
As I mentioned in the opening monologue today, the U.S. economy growing at the fastest pace ever recorded in a third quarter, expanding at a pace of 33.1%. That is record-breaking. And it did so because we began to ease up on COVID restrictions and businesses could start to reopen again. And folks rushed in. They were willing to help these businesses, small businesses and mom-and-pop shops and so forth. So it's good news, and yet you have to consider against the backdrop of when we began the year, we were doing even better. So even with this record pace of 33.1%, we're still 3.5% smaller than we were as the year began. So it's all good news, but what happens from here? And, of course, you listen to the Democrats. They were going to lock down the economy again, close down. Everybody wear a mask, stay home, stay scared, frightened, huddle in the basement. We can't go through that again. Also, the Labor Department reporting that new claims for unemployment fell to 751,000 in the week that ended October 24th. That's a 40,000 decline from the previous week. They had expected the numbers to go up. Instead of falling to 751, they expected around 760,000. Now, again, airlines started laying off thousands of workers due to lack of demand for flights. Then they had a deal that gave them billions of funding in exchange for keeping workers on the payroll. All that expired in September. Theme parks still closed, movie chains pretty much still closed, restaurants very limited. So it's understandable that the unemployment benefits would jump, but they actually fell. And with the economy going up, that's even better news. Trump got us well ahead before COVID hit. And it was a tide that lifted all boats. I don't care, reference your color, your gender, your religion. Everyone was getting new opportunities and money. But the Democrats would destroy all of that if they had a chance. Take a look at what they're doing in some of these blue cities and states. We know they've been chasing folks out of California, out of New York. They keep trying to impose more taxes. Andrew, our boots on the ground in Chicago, sent me a report from the Chicago News titled, "They're Chasing People Out of the City." The Cook County Treasurer just finished a project on property taxes in Cook County. She apparently cataloged the steep increase in property taxes in Cook County and the city, and she found out the third ward of Chicago, 431% increase in taxes, the 27th ward, 322%. The cost of living since 2000 going up 36%, wages going up 57%. General, on average, property and commercial residential taxes up 87%, but in the city, up 115%. And some areas are reporting almost a 600% increase in property taxes. As one resident said, "They're killing me. They're chasing me out of the city." That's understandable. So the guy who claimed to be a big insider in the White House wrote a book titled Anonymous to hide himself. He's exposed. He's a fraud. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Miles Taylor today managed to discredit himself, the New York Times, and CNN all in one fell swoop, and that is no easy feat. He showed that the New York Times will publish anonymous smears by a 20-something staffer, but they won't publish on-the-record evidence from Tony Bobulinski with contemporaneous documents and devices proving that the Biden family may be compromised by communist China.
Those are the words of the White House Deputy Communications Director, Brian Morgenstern. He's talking about the revelation that a former member of the Department of Homeland Security, Miles Taylor, is now identified and admitting that he is the author of the book titled A Warning. A Warning. You remember that came out some time ago, and when it did, he didn't put his name with it. He just said anonymous. And mainstream media, the very ones right now that even will not touch the Hunter Biden story, the emails, and won't even investigate to prove it's wrong since they say it's not true. Won't even do that part of the investigation. Ran rampant with this book written by someone titled Anonymous. I mean, that was his name that he was hiding behind. The book itself titled A Warning. And he's talked about all the things, all the dastardly things going on in the Trump White House. I mean, it's just shocking. It's just so scary. I mean, he talked about and admitted he was a member of the resistance inside the White House. He said cabinet members were considering mass resignations. Yes, they were talking about the 25th Amendment as a way to get Trump out of office. The author even suggesting Trump might decide to just leave office, decide not to run for re-election. He said that's why Trump now is talking about coups and seeding the narrative that he's not being handled fairly. In fact, Anonymous wrote, he will not exit quietly or easily. This book coming out in August. And again, the author was writing under the name Anonymous. And for all the mainstream media that picked it up, written by an insider in the White House, someone at the top, someone who knows everything, who's sitting in there, who has all this information. That's what you were led to believe. Well, it turns out his White House Press Secretary, Kayla McKinney, is now describing him because the guy's come forward. He said, yeah, it was me. And he explains why he lied. And he lied to CNN, by the way, and Anderson Cooper. He lied to them. And I'm going to get to that part of the story in a minute, but he gives an explanation, or at least his reason for not doing it, not putting his name out. That's also a lie. I'll break that down for you. But we now know he was no big deal inside the White House. White House Press Secretary McKinney says he was, quote, a low-level, disgruntled former staffer, as well as a liar and a coward who chose anonymity over action and leaking over leading. That's exactly right. And there were some Republicans at the time when the book came out decided, well, we had to endorse Biden. This book says everything is so wrong. We need to do something. The other Republicans say, it's probably someone who doesn't really know anything, just trying to make a name for himself at Trump's expense, but he wasn't putting his name out. Well, former spokesman for GOP House Speakers John Boehner and Paul Ryan says, I'd never heard of this guy, but did ask around and heard back that he was a major self-promoter. Makes sense now. Now, Trump at that time when the book came out, when he was still known as only as Anonymous, Trump said, this is a gutless coward. The guy wrote a column for the New York Times. They printed it, didn't question it, didn't fact check it, just ran it. Now, you see the difference between that and the Bob Alinsky interview the other day or the Hunter Biden email stories? When they claim, well, we had to check facts, they didn't bother. They just ran with it because this guy is writing some bad things about Trump. In fact, in the book, he compared Trump to, and I'm quoting, a 12-year-old in an air traffic control tower pushing the buttons of government indiscriminately, indifferent to the planes skidding across the runway in flights frantically diverting away from the airport. Oh, my gosh, that is so damaging, right? The book was a follow-up to the column he wrote in September 2018. And he wrote also that many of the senior officials in his own administration are working diligently from within to frustrate parts of Trump's agenda. In other words, he was suggesting there was a rebellion, a mutiny inside the White House. Well, again, the words of the White House Deputy Communications Director, Brian Morgenstern, as now we know who the guy is, his name, Miles Taylor.
Miles wrote the op-ed before he was even chief of staff of the agency. He became chief of staff for 6 weeks, and then he was pushed out. They made it seem like this was some kind of insider or cabinet member who had the president's ear. Tonight, after denying on CNN's airways that he was Anonymous, admitted that he was Anonymous, and then made outlandish claims about his interactions with the president. And let's be clear, the president had no idea who this kid was. The media propped him up because he said mean things about the president. Meanwhile, when he was leaving the administration, he could not have been more complimentary, saying we were historically productive, that we were keeping the American people safe. Then he went and got a job at Google in Silicon Valley, wanted to fit in with his friends, and said Trump's bad. Well, then he went to CNN. They said, are you Anonymous? He said, no. Today, he says, actually, I am Anonymous, and here's all these outlandish things that I'm going to say the president said. Again, the president has no idea who this kid was. So the New York Times is discredited, CNN's discredited, and Miles Taylor's discredited.
I like it. This kid. I like it. That's a good way to describe him. He wasn't a cabinet member. He wasn't on cabinet meetings. He had a position with the Department of Homeland Security at the time. But as you heard Morgan Stern say, that he held it for 6 weeks and they kicked him out. And then, of course, he became part of the resistance. But when he was in there, oh, we're all good. We're good. We're good. Now we'll be the first to admit, sometimes your best information comes from someone who's been inside and is telling you what happened inside when they were there. They may have an axe to grind, but if they can back up what they've got, they're a good source. You know, it's like getting a member of the mafia to suddenly come forward and start testifying. Not a good character overall. Not someone you'd want to be part of the family, maybe. But knows the workings and was telling it and making it public. And as you heard Morgan Stern say, Taylor, even in an interview last night on CNN, acknowledged that, yeah, I did not say I was the author. In fact, when asked, I denied it. So Chris Cuomo decided to make an issue out of that. Here's Chris Cuomo last night on his program talking to Miles Taylor. Here we go.
First, what matters most, certainly to me. You lied to us, Miles. You were asked in August if you were anonymous here on CNN with Anderson Cooper, and you said no. Now, why should CNN keep you on the payroll after lying like that?
Chris, it's a great question, and I'll just give you the blunt truth. When I published a warning, I said in the book that if asked, I would strenuously deny I was the author. And here's the reason. Because the things I said in that book were ideas that I wanted Donald Trump to challenge on their merits. We have seen over the course of 4 years that Donald Trump's preference is to find personal attacks and distractions to pull people away from criticisms of his record. I wrote that work anonymously to deprive him.
Do you see what he's saying? Since Trump didn't know who I was, he couldn't come out and personally attack me. That's why I was hiding behind the anonymous. Quentin, I want to replay the beginning of that bite because there's something else in there. And before I get to it, again, reference what Taylor is saying. He wasn't hiding because he was worried about himself or anything like that. He was hiding only because he didn't want to give himself to be a target for Trump so he could personally attack him. And he said, that's why I lied to you. I want to hear Cuomo ask that question again, and I'm going to indicate a stop because he raises a question that raised a big flag for me right away. Here we go again.
First, what matters most, certainly to me. You lied to us, Miles. You were asked in August if you were anonymous here on CNN with Anderson Cooper, and you said no. Now, why should CNN keep you on the payroll after lying like that?
Well, there you go. I have a question for Chris Cuomo. Why should CNN keep you on the payroll when you lied about being in your basement during your quarantine that you never left your basement? And it's documented you left your basement. You got into an argument with a guy a few miles from your home. And then you come out of the basement like, I've been down here all this time, and thank God I'm coming up and I'm seeing my family the first time. Liar, 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 pants on fire. Cuomo, why should they keep you on board and pay you? The hypocrisy, even inside their own ranks. Well, Taylor also said, regarding what I told Cooper, I need to talk about it. We're going to take a break, and you'll hear what Miles Taylor has to say to Anderson Cooper, because Taylor admits he lied to Anderson Cottonmouth Cooper. Coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So here's Miles Taylor, who now comes forward and says, yes, I wrote that book titled A Warning, and I hid behind a pseudonym of Anonymous, and I didn't want anyone to know who I was because Trump has such a nasty habit of going after people personally, and I didn't want to draw away from the narrative what I was trying to expose and give him an easy, quick out just to attack me personally. That's his story, and he's sticking to it. And yet when he was on with CNN with Anderson Cottonmouth Cooper, and Cooper asked him, are you the author of that book? And he denied it. So last night on Chris Cuomo's show, Taylor said, I really need to apologize to Anderson Cooper.
When asked by Anderson whether I was anonymous during that time period, I said what I was going to do. I temporarily denied it, but I've always said I would ultimately come out under my own name. But that said, I owe Anderson Cooper a beer. I owe him a mea culpa. And the same thing for other reporters who at that time period asked me, are you anonymous? And I said no, because I wanted that work to stand on its own two legs and deprive the president of an opportunity to do one more personal attack to distract from his record. But look, I'm here tonight to say that was me.
And I'm here to tell you again that the CNN broadcast operation, New York Times, and all the other mainstream media were running crazy with that book written by someone anonymous without knowing who it was and could not fact check anything he said because it's all what he said took place. So he didn't really quote anyone they could go to. And you contrast that against where we stand today with how the mainstream media has been ignoring the Hunter Biden tapes and emails and computer. And Biden insider Bobulinski coming forward and saying, I can document all that. Here it is. And they won't even bother when Joe Biden holds a conference yesterday. Not one reporter asked him about Hunter Biden and the computer. Not even give him a chance to say it's fake. And all of them claim we don't run that story because we can't verify it. We don't like putting on things we're not sure if it's been hacked or something. They had no problem running it, that book, by Anonymous, when no one knew who the hell it was or if it was factual at all. Everyone sees the difference. Even the left has to see it. And the left was, well, we were upset because we got taken advantage of because this guy lied when we asked him directly. Well, Anderson, I'll buy you a beer. That'll make it good. We're going to get into more of the excuses. All the mainstream media and big tech has come up with as to why they will not touch the Hunter Biden story. And it's not just a Hunter Biden story. It is a Joe Biden story. We're going to get into that in more detail in the next hour. But before we do that, I want to share something with you from Publica. ProPublica identifies itself as a nonprofit newsroom investigating abuses of power. They have an article out, ProPublica.org. Now, depending on which analysis you're reading, it's either a conservative group or has a left-center bias or medium. One moderate. I mean, I'm looking at different reviews, and it probably goes in different directions, probably depending upon the article and or the perception of the person reading it. But they wrote something titled, The Benefits of Being Joe Biden's Brother. Well, that's pretty interesting, right? And it starts talking about Jim Biden was in a bind. An investor put up $1 million to help Jim and his nephew buy a hedge fund. Turned out the fund's assets were worth less than Biden's thought. The investor won the money back. That was December 2006, not long before Jim's older brother and Hunter's father, Joe Biden, then a Delaware senator, announced his second campaign for president. Jim and Hunter Biden got a loan from a bank founded by one of Joe's political backers. See, it pays to be Biden's brother. And the article goes on to point out it's not the first time or the last time that Jim Biden turned to Joe's political network for assistance that would be unimaginable if he had a different name. Talking about a series of IRS liens totaling more than $1 million and made it harder for him to get bank financing. And Jim Biden took out more loans from Washington first before it got sold. And then to get out of it, he went back to Joe, and Joe helped clear things up. He reached out to people, just kind of put it aside. It pays to be Joe Biden's brother or son or anybody in the family. But the article also says Jim has been a political vulnerability. Talking about when the plagiarism scandal put pressure on Joe to drop out of the presidential race in 87, protecting his brother from reporters asking about Jim's shaky finances. They were going after Jim at that point, so Joe went away and helped cover for Jim again. There's a lot more to that article. I don't have time to get into all of it, but it does show the Biden name is what they're trading on. The Trump name is a name to be traded on, too. I'm not saying it's not. But where's the proof of what we're seeing right now with the Hunter Biden story as to what they're pointing out? We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to rip into the social media giants.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.